Limitless, the limitless life. And last Wednesday night was the first sermon in that series. If you didn't get a chance to watch that, it's up on our YouTube channel. But I don't know if you recognize this, but we serve a limitless God.
Amen.
Think about it. We had to create words in the English language because we were introduced to a being that could not be measured any other way, could not be described any other way. So we picked words like omnipotent. It means all powerful. Why would we create a word like that? Because we were encountering a being, Jehovah God, who is all powerful. There's nothing outside his ability. I remember back, you know, Mrs. Mix and I, we muse about crazy things like, what's it going to be like when we're in heaven? What are we going to look like? And you realize nobody's old in heaven. Nobody has a cane. Nobody has a walker. Nobody's got bad knees or bad hips. Nobody's got a tweaked back in heaven. And if I could choose, I would like to be 30 again for eternity. Man, I look good at 30. I mean it now. I was lean and mean and chiseled down and everything. I'm trying. Yeah, I know. It's all underneath there. Underneath all this, I am shredded. All right? Wouldn't that be cool to be 30? Huh? I mean, that was a good year for me. Miss Mix, when I was 30, she was 27. Then those were our best times. We looked good, and we're just kind of like, that'd be heaven, wouldn't it? Wouldn't that be heaven? You realize that with God, he's going to take us to a place where there is no more age, no more time, no more years, no more pain or suffering. Our God is powerful. And sometimes we forget that because we try to cast him in our image as we get older. Yeah. You know, we start, and the things I could do when I was 30, I can't do now. Well, I can, but it hurts. Right? I can, but it hurts, you know? So it's kind of like when I have to get down on the floor to grab something, I stop and think, is there anything else I need to do before I get back up again? Right? Because I don't want to have to do this all multiple times. And you realize God doesn't age like that. God doesn't get old and get decrepit and hurt. God don't got pains in his knees or his hips. Our God is all powerful. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He's not changed. He is a limitless God. Now, Jesus said in John chapter 10 and verse 10, I've come to give them life and that more abundantly. So when I think of the abundant life, that means a limitless life because I serve a limitless God. Another word we used was omnipresent. He is everywhere all at once. I've talked to people who've run from God. You ever talk to somebody who's run from God? You know, God got on their trail. God wanted them to do something and they took off. They're like, no, I don't want to do that. Jonah is a classic example. God said, go this way. Jonah went, no, I'll go that way. And Jonah went to the far edge of what was the known map. And he ran right into God. He's a limitless God. He's omnipotent. He's omnipresent. He's also omniscient. He knows everything. He knows more about your job than you do. He knows more about math. He knows more about everything than we do. He is limitless. I was reminded that there are several other words we created, like eternal, because he is. Infinite, which he is. Amen. Holy. These are words that describe the being known as Jehovah God, our God, the only God there is, the creator, the sustainer, the keeper, the prayer-answering God. We serve a limitless God, and he's offered us a limitless life. Take your Bible, go to Ephesians 3 and verse 20. We'll get to Psalm 78 after a while. But look at Ephesians 3. I want to set the stage. Many of you were out of town. I'm so glad you're back safe. Praise the Lord. But I want to kind of recap Wednesday night before we get in today's message. Look at Ephesians 3:20. Now remember, we serve a limitless God who wants to bless us and be a blessing through us. We need to remember this. He wants to be a blessing to us, yes, but he also wants to be a blessing through us to the world. Look at Ephesians 3 and verse 20. If you found it, say amen. Amen.
Read it with me out loud. Now unto him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. Let's break that down. Let me break this down for you. Unto him that is able, talking about God who is able. Boy, I could preach a whole message on how God is able. There ain't nothing that God is inable of. He is able to do exceedingly abundantly above. Okay, now those are some cool words. All. There's nothing outside all that we could that we ask or think. You know, the word thinks talks about your imagination too. I got a pretty vivid imagination. And God can do exceed, he is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that my little mind could come up with. There's more to God than you and I have experienced so far. Have you ever thought of that? There is more to our Father in heaven that you and I have yet to experience. There's more to him than we have received. There's more stuff. There's more about him. There's more of him. Our understanding of God is so small and so limited. And we wonder, why isn't our life just abundantly above? I want the exceedingly abundantly above, Lord. Is it because God is limited? No. This is a limitless God who offers me a limitless life. Take your Bible and go to Hebrews chapter 13. Now, that's toward the back of the book. Hebrews 13, verse 20 and 21. Find it with me now. Look at Hebrews 13. Listen. Everybody's heard things that sound spiritual. Let's look at, and see what's actually scriptural. Hebrews 13 and verse 20 and 21. If you found it, say amen. Now the God of peace that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, that resurrection power God, that's what we're talking about, that great shepherd of the sheep through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you perfect. The word perfect in 1611 English meant mature, complete. Make you perfect in every good work to do his will. Working in you. Isn't it cool? God ain't done with you yet. Working in you that which is well-pleasing in his sight through Jesus Christ. To him be glory forever and ever. Amen. Well, you might ask and say, well, you know, preacher, I've heard those Bible verses that say, well, I can do all things through Christ who strengthened me. What about that? Yeah, what about it? What about that? But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory. What about that? Well, what about it? Why am I not experiencing it? Have you ever asked yourself that? Come on now. You see God working in somebody's life, they got the joy of the Lord, and you're asking yourself, what's up with that? My chopped liver? You know what I mean? Seriously, you're just kind of like, what's the deal, Lord? I don't have your power. Why don't I feel your wisdom? Where's the love, Lord? Does any of this sound familiar to you, or are you just kind of already advanced beyond that in your spirituality? Do you want some answers? The theme for this series is found in 2 Corinthians chapter 6. Go to 2 Corinthians chapter 6. The theme of this series is 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 11. Now, when I read this, it took me a second. I'll just be honest. I have to look words up in the dictionary. Anybody else like that? Right? Amen. With the Holy Spirit inside you, the Word and God in front of you, and a good dictionary, you can understand what the Bible says if you're willing to look up a few words you didn't use this week in a sentence. Look at 2 Corinthians 6 and verse 11. O ye Corinthians, our mouth is open unto you. Now hold up. What happened was, in 1 Corinthians, Paul rebuked them big time. I mean, they weren't doing anything right. They weren't having fellowships right. They weren't worshiping right. They didn't have nothing right. And he just like bang, 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 bang. He is hammering them about the things they're doing wrong and how to get right. So they respond and do right. And Paul writes 2 Corinthians to him and says, you know, I just want to remind you, I still love you. Our mouth is open unto you. Our heart is enlarged. I still love you every bit as much as I did before I found out the mess you were making. Verse 12, you are not straitened in us. The word straitened means limit, confined, held back. I'm not holding you back. You know, I need you to grasp this concept. The church is not holding you back from everything God wants you to have. The pastor's not doing it. The deacon's not doing it. No. What's holding you back? The next phrase, but ye are straitened in your own bowels. The word bowels back then meant your heart, because everybody in that time period felt like all your emotions came from your guts, because that's what would hurt when your heart, when you somebody would betray you, you'd feel it here. Well, you're straitened in your own self, in your own heart. You are the limiting factor in this equation that between you and the Lord. God is limitless. It's not the church holding you back. It's not the preacher and his preferences that hold you back. We. I don't know if you realize it, but I am my own worst enemy. Can anybody else testify to that in your life? You are your own worst enemy. Okay. Well, I would contend that God being, Paul is telling them, look, the limiting factor in this equation is you guys. That's why in verse 13, he ends it with saying, be ye enlarged. Come on. Come on, recognize you are the limiting factor in a relationship with a limitless God. How about we stop? Because see, listen, God isn't going to force you to do nothing. God is a gentleman. He doesn't force himself upon you. He's not going to drag you kicking and screaming into heaven. Have you ever had somebody live with you like a teenager that really doesn't like you? You ever have that? I remember when my boys are like, I want to move out. And I'm like, man, that is a fabulous idea. I think that's right. You'll love living on your own, having your own money, doing your own thing. You're going to love it. Why would God? I meet people knocking doors and canvassing out here in the community, and I meet people who don't like God. And I think to myself, well, why do you want to make God live with you who don't like him for eternity? We'll talk about hell, right? And you think, well, that's just, God isn't going to make you do anything. God is not going to force his blessings upon you. God's not going to put you in a headlock and make you blessable. You're going to have to say, yes, Lord, I want it. So what limits God? Well, in Psalm 78 and verse 41, it says that we do. We limit him. Because he's not going to make you go against your will. He may change your circumstances to where you're willing to do something different, but he'll never make you. If you're saved today, God didn't put you in a headlock. He gave you a choice, and you chose to trust Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. That's the only reason any of us go to heaven. But with a limitless God, John the Baptist said it correct in John 3 and verse 30 when he said, he must increase and I must decrease. I need to let God become bigger and more important and preeminent in my life, and I need to start taking a back seat to the Lord because it's all about him. See, limitless life happens right there where you and I say, God, it's up to you. What do you want? God, you're the boss. God, you. I remember that day. I remember where I was when I came to the realization that I wasn't the boss anymore. When I realized I serve a God who's sovereign, who's the boss. And so my question is, am I going to surrender to him or am I going to fight him? You realize there's no good outcomes if you pick a fight with God. There's no good outcomes. There's no winning. No, there is never going to be a time when things look pretty when you fight with God. He's limitless. And he wants to bless us and be a blessing through us to the world around us, because when that happens, we prove it. It gets proven out into the world that he exists, that he's real, that he's good, that he's loving. Or we fight him and it gets proven that he really is the boss and he can let us be taken to a place in life where we don't want to be. So how do we get the limitless life? Well, first realize who is the person who's limiting God. Take your Bible, go to Psalm 78. Now, Psalm 78 was written for our understanding and our benefit as well as our warning. Now, Not everything in the Bible is written to you, you know what I'm saying, or about you, but it is for your learning. You can learn from it, even though it wasn't about you necessarily. Psalm 78, we find Israel in their sin and their constant disloyalty throughout the chapter, but God still loves them. And he's patiently watching over them and providing for them the entire time. And we see this. See, their sins are numerous. I mean, look at Psalm 78 and verse 8. It says, and might not as their fathers, a stubborn and rebellious generation. That was their sin. Verse 11, they forget his works. Verse 17, and they sinned yet more against him and provoking the Most High in the wilderness. And they tempted God in their heart by asking meat for their lust. Look at verse 32. The Bible reads, for all this they sinned still. God was good to them and they still turned on him and believed not for his wondrous works. Verse 36, nevertheless, they did flatter him with their mouth. They lied unto him with their tongues, for their heart was not right with him. Verse 40, how oft did they provoke him in the wilderness and grieve him in the desert? But a most incredible statement happens in verse 41. Yea, they turned back and tempted God, and look at that next phrase, and limited. You know what the word limit means, right? They were in such a condition, in such a mindset, that even though God wanted to bless them, and even though God wanted to be a blessing through them, they went, no, thank you. They held back the blessings of God in their life rather than letting God do incredible things. See, I think that we have been scammed so many times by people on the phone and people on email and through the internet. And we've been cheated and we've been played with for the pleasure of a wicked boss enough times to where we have a very hard time trusting our Father in heaven, recognizing that his character is perfect and pure, that his heart is loving toward us and always wants what's best. And we really have a hard time, you know, because we get jaded, because faith is not complex. Faith is just confidence in God's character, that he will follow through on his word. That's all faith is I believe and trust God's character. But they limited the Holy One of Israel. Can a person, can you limit God and his blessing in your life? Yes. Yes, you can. Now, there are two great principles I want you to grasp out of Psalm 78 before we get into it and start reading it. Number one, as I've already mentioned, God is ready, willing, able, and wants to do incredible great things in your life. He wants to be all you ever needed. And that's because you are all he ever wanted. Let me say that again. God wants to be all you ever needed because you are all he ever wanted. I do funerals for a lot of people. You realize, well, let me ask you a question. What is it that a person takes with them after they die? Nothing. Nothing. God doesn't want your stuff. The streets of heaven are paved with gold. What does he need your junk for? Think about it. He isn't asking for your stuff. He's not trying to swindle you out of your money or out of whatever. All he ever wanted was you. But he would like to be all you ever needed. Number two, the other principle you find in chapter 78 is we prevent him from proving his sufficiency and his power and his love. We prevent him from doing those things and displaying it to the world. So today, God is wanting to meet our needs. He wants to meet the need of this world, but we hold him back. Now, who is the person doing the limiting? Well, look at verse 1 of chapter 78. Give ear, O my people. This whole chapter is written to his people. Back then, it was Israel. Today, it's us, Christians. We are God's people. See, God's problem is not with the world. God's problem is with his own people. You understand, it's not the water outside the boat that causes it to sink. It's the water that gets in. It's not the world around us that causes us the problems. It's the world we let get in us that causes us the problems. The wrong thinking, the faulty and deficiency mindset of Christians today, that's what the problem happens. The indifference, the apathy, the apostasy. Apostasy is looking at the Bible and going, yeah, I know what it says, but I'll do it. I'll do as I please. That's what apostasy is. Apathy, that's an indifference to the world around us. If somebody doesn't tell them, they're going to go to hell. The Bible says in 2 Chronicles 7:14, if my people who are called by my name, see the word Christian means Christ-like, Christ is in the name of Christian, if my people who are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways. See, God's not calling Hollywood to change. God is not trying to get the porn crowd or the drug crowd or the liquor crowd. That's not what God's trying to do. God's trying to get his people to stop limiting what he wants to do because of our own sin and pride. If my people who are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. In 1 Peter 4:17, the Bible says, for the time has come, the judgment must begin at the house of God. It's us that limit God. And we are limiting the limitless God. Look at verse number 13. He gives you an example. This is the God who divided the Red Sea and they walked through on dry ground. Look at verse number 20. This is the God who smote the rock and water gushed out of its face, and he fed them by bread and quail every day. This is the God who took care of them. In verse 43 to 52, it's all the plagues that he used to deliver them from slavery. I none of you got up this morning and thought to yourself, look at me, I'm holding back the blessings. Right? You would never put that on a t-shirt. Right? But that's what God says. We limit the Holy One. Well, there's seven things there's a whole list of sins in here, but I found, as I was reading through this, there's some things that applied to me. Maybe not applied to you, so just listen along and you'll see how it applies to me, okay? First off, I limit God through my disobedience. Verse 10, they kept not the covenant of God and refused to walk in his law. The fundamental condition of God's blessing is obedience. The greatest way you can worship God is obey him. And I'm telling you, obedience always precedes blessings. In other words, you obey first, then the blessings come. Obedience is gladly, unquestionably doing what God says and expecting God to handle the results. You realize that when you obey, you are free. Because the consequences are now up to God. I did what I was supposed to do. Now it's up to God whether or not it turns out. So let me ask a question. How do you stand? I'm telling you, this is my problem. I hold back and shunt off the blessings of God in me and through me through my disobedience. Where do you stand in regard to this? Let's take a little mental inventory. Are you obedient as a Christian? See, God is able. God wants to. But he has left the choice up to us. Take your Bible, go to the Gospel of John. Keep your hand there in Psalm 78, but go to the New Testament, to the Gospel of John, chapter number 15. John chapter 15. Look at this now, John 15 and verse 7. There is a powerful, powerful concept here I want you to grasp. Look at John 15. Everybody found it? Say amen. Look at verse 7. Look at the first word. If. Say it with me. If. God's about to make you a promise, but the choice is up to you. If ye abide in my word, and my word abide in you, ye shall ask what you will,
and it shall be done unto you. You just got a blank check from heaven where you get to write in. Now, come on now. God's not going to give you $1 million. He can't trust you with it. Right? He can't trust me with it. I'd be not the caddy dealer. And I would. I mean, those things are gorgeous. Right? I mean, he can't trust us with that. I'm not prosperity gospel in here, okay? But I'm telling you, you want your prayers answered? God already said, I'll do it. I'll do it if you'll obey. I'm not going to bless bad behavior. If, look at that now. If ye abide in my words, abide in me and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what you will and it shall be done unto you. Look at verse number 10. If ye keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. Huh. Verse 14. Ye are my friends if ye do whatsoever I command you. When I lived in Arkansas, I'd knock on doors and everybody was saved. Everybody was going to heaven. Everybody was related to a preacher. Everybody was a Christian. Everybody. But my question was, then what church do you go to? Well, you know, I think I'm still a member at, you know, XYZ. Yeah, I drove by there the other day. Who's the preacher down there? And now they know I got them. And you're like, that's terrible. No, but it's the truth. It's the truth. We say it. We're the friend of God. I'm spiritual. I love Jesus. Okay. Tell me where you're going to be the next time church is open. Tell me what you are you going to read tomorrow morning? You're going to get alone with God and go talk to him. You're going to read, you're going to pray, you're going to come to church, you're going to share your faith. Are you going to do the things you've been commanded to do, or are you just going to say it? You know how disgusting that is? Let me give you an example. I'm going to be preaching through Hosea. And in Hosea, Hosea's wife kept saying, yes, I'm the wife of Hosea, the prophet of God, while she slept around. She was a whore, and she slept around. But she told everybody, I'm the wife of a prophet. You don't find that disgusting? How do you think God feels when he looks down and we go, I'm a friend of God, I know Jesus, but I don't have anything to do with his word, his people, or his house? You see? And then we wonder, why is it that I'm not experiencing the power of God? Where's the blessings, Lord? Why is this happening to me, Lord? God isn't shooting you with lightning bolts. God doesn't have to. God just needs to take he just takes his hand off you and goes, help yourself. Go on. You want it, get you some. And that's what we do. We're like, thank you, Lord, I'll take it from here. I have my fire insurance. I'm going to heaven when I die. Praise the Lord. But I got it from here. I'll take it from here. Remember when I was breaking pots the other day? Remember when I was doing that illustration? The craziest thing you and I will ever say is, I know what I'm doing. Why is it that prayer is the last stop on the worry train? Why do we go to Visa first and all these other places before we go to the Lord who actually knows what's going on? And it isn't God punishing you. It's just God stepping back and letting the world do what it does by letting us do what we do. See, God wants to bless you, but our obedience or disobedience limits God. Verse number 11, we forget all that he's done. Look at verse 11, back in Psalm 78. It says, and forget his works and his wonders that he showed unto them. Marvelous things did he in the sight of their fathers in the land of Egypt and in the field of Zoan. He divided the sea. He caused them to pass through. He made the waters to stand up on an heap. In the daytime also, he led them with a cloud. Do you know why he did that? So they could walk in the shade for 40 years. He led them by a pillar of fire because it's cold in the desert at night. And the pillar of fire warmed the entire camp. He was even concerned about that. You realize their shoes never wore out for 40 years? Their clothes never wore out. They never dropped a button in 40 years.
God took care of even the little things. They forgot all that God had done. I mean, in verse 12, they forgot how he delivered them. In verse 13, how he guarded them. In verse 14, how he guided them. In verse 15 through 17, how he provided, how he answered their prayers. And they just forgot him. We got this gratitude journal from the couple's prayer advance. Miss Mix and I, every few days, we sit down and we go through and write out 10 things we're thankful for. And every time we do it, it has a way of turning our heart back to the Lord. Have you forgotten all the things he's done for you so far? See, our forgetfulness limits his blessing. Now, I'm sure you don't have a problem with that, but I do. I forget. Number three, my unbelief. My unbelief, meaning that I don't trust him, or I don't believe that he's going to do what I think he can do. Look at verse number 19. It says, yea, they spake against God. They said, can God furnish a table in the wilderness? I'm in such trouble, I don't even think God can get me out of it. Behold, he smote the rock that the waters gushed out and the streams overflowed. Can he give bread also? Can he provide flesh to his people? Do you realize that us not trusting him? See, he promises to meet all our needs, but he doesn't promise to meet all our greeds, okay? How many meals have you missed? Did you have a place that was warm last night to sleep? I remember living in a time, I know this is going to shock you, before there were cell phones. And we got along just fine. How many of you had an answering machine? You were in tall cotton. You had an answering machine with a phone with a 20-foot cable that you could walk all around the house with. Or remember when the wireless phones came out? Man, we'd go outside in the front yard and yell at each other. You know, because we could do that, right? God will meet your needs. And when he does, do we forget? Praise has a way of releasing the blessings of God in your life. Because otherwise, we become stingy with our praise and our goodness, forgetting that what God's done, and it shuts off the blessing. For sake of time, now, by the way, I love this. This unbelief, I want to know, are you going to ask God for more this year than you did last year? There's more to God than you've experienced so far. Are you lazy in your prayers? Think about it. Are your prayers lazy? Like you say the same thing over and over again. You don't really talk to him. Lord, or are they hazy? Lord, just bless everybody. Well, what do you mean by that? Well, just bless them. Well, yeah, I know God knows everything. But do you understand what you're asking for? So I find myself saying that word all the time, bless them, bless them. Well, and I stop and I go, God, give them health and vitality. God, give them the ability to succeed at this challenge. God, empower them to stay true to your word. Empower them, engrace them. That's what grace is. And don't get crazy with your prayers, but you ought to get a little crazy with your prayers. Have you ever asked God for something so big that if it weren't you asking for God, it would seem like idiotic? You need to have an impossible prayer. You need to have a prayer that only God can answer, that can't be circumstantial. I mean an impossible prayer request. Maybe it's that your dad will get saved. Maybe it's your grandma will get saved. Maybe it will be that coworker will get saved. Ask for something so big, it would be idiotic if you were asking someone else for it. Have you ever done that? Why not? He's the limitless God. Verse 33 tells us it's our worldliness. I told you, it's not the world out there that's the problem. It's the world that gets in John Mix. That's the problem. Verse 33. It says, therefore their days did he consume in vanity and their years in trouble. You know, we fail to realize that our citizenship's up there. Amen. This is not our home. We're just living here for a while. We're just pilgrims. We're just traveling. The Bible refers to us as aliens. The Lord has called us out of this world. We've been told not to love this world. Yes, we have to live in it. Yes, we have to work in it. Yes, we have to exist. Yes, 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 I understand that. But sometimes I wonder, do you own things or do those things own you? I'll say that again. I think I lost some of you. Do those things, do you own those things or do those things own you? Wait, I had a lady, I'm gonna offend somebody right now, but that's okay. I had a lady call me. She said, I can't come to church on Sunday, preacher, and sing. I'm like, why? We got a new puppy. Oh, yeah, got quiet, didn't it? Got real here in a minute, didn't it? I got a new puppy, and so we can't come to church. When can the puppy let you out to come to church? Look, I love you. But sometimes we get our priorities out of whack. Mrs. Mix and I stepped out of the will of God one day, and we bought a house. It was a wonderful house. It was 3-bedroom on 2 city lots with a 2-car garage, a full basement. I paid $27,000 for it. It was awesome. Move-in ready. It was only 15 minutes from work, but it was 45 minutes from church, and it didn't dawn on me. And I put the money down. I mean, I pawned everything to get the money, so I had it in the checking account. So that afternoon, it was a great financial decision. We signed on the dotted line, and we ran off to church that night to tell everybody. And we got there a little late, and we showed up, and as soon as the preacher got up to preach, he preached the sermon. I don't remember what it was, but all I heard was, just because it's a good financial decision doesn't mean it's God's will. And at that moment, it dawned on me, you're now 45 minutes from church. I didn't ask the Lord, did I? I didn't ask the Lord. We just signed on the dot. You realize at the time I was making $7 an hour. And we just signed on the line for $27,000. And I put down every dime we had. And I forgot to ask God if this was a good idea. So we hit the altar and we did the only thing we knew how to do. And that was repent and confess and beg God to forgive us. That we'll get out of this as soon as we can. I forgot to ask you. And the preacher said, don't you miss. Don't you miss. Listen, you want God to bless you? Then obey. So even if it snowed, Mrs. Mix and I were the only ones that showed up we had our dog, because the dog went to church with us. We showed up. I didn't know what else to do but just be obedient. And God blessed us. And we, 9 months later, we had a buyer. And we had a buyer, and we didn't lose a dime. We got our money back plus. And I'm just telling you, it's easy for you and I to limit the blessings of God. But at the moment God brings it to your attention, you have a choice. We all make mistakes. We all do dumb things. We all get self-focused. We're doing our thing and we're excited. And that's good because I like my life to be exciting. But then all of a sudden I forget, well, I wonder what God thinks. Maybe we should have asked him before. I've told you my mower story. I've told you some other stories where I just got ahead of God, didn't think, and I didn't do anything sinful, really. I just didn't think. At that moment, you can release the blessings of God in your life if you'll repent, if you'll admit, you know what, God, I made this decision, and I should have asked you, and I'm sorry. If you'll confess it like that, and then submit yourself to God and say, God, whatever you decide to do, I am coming back to where I should be. I'm yours. God will unleash his blessing in your life. He will unleash his power. Because you and I put ourselves in the correct place. I remember you're the one in charge. I remember that you set the rules. I remember that you bless when I obey. I remember. Look at verse 36 and verse 37. Nevertheless, they did flatter him with their mouth, and they lied unto him with their tongues, for their heart was not right with him, neither were they steadfast in his covenant. In other words, they said they were God's people, but they didn't live like it. They said, you ever have somebody say yes to your face, but you know the whole time they're going to go behind your back and do what they really want anyway? Do you have a kid like that at the house? I've had that. I was that kid at the house. I knew not to fight my dad. I'd just say, yes, sir. Didn't mean I was going to go do it, but I'd say yes, sir, to his face. What kind of Christian are you? Do you want the limitless God to unleash his limitless power in your life?
He's not going to do it unless you obey, unless you surrender your life to him. See, it starts by knowing Christ as our Savior. The other thing they did was in verse 58, they put other things ahead of God. It's called idolatry. And one of the things you and I can put ahead of God is our entertainment, our comfort, our self-esteem, our desire for others to esteem us. They can become idols. So let me ask you a question. Do you want the blessings of God? You know, I didn't understand marriage when I got married. Anybody else in that boat? I didn't understand it. Anybody? We don't come pre-wired this way. I don't know. I didn't understand it. But after I'd been married a while, I learned a very important concept, and that was the more I give myself to my wife, I don't lose anything when I give myself to my wife. The more I give to her, the more I concern myself about meeting her needs, the more my needs get met. The more I just focus on her and loving her, and when I give myself to her, I don't lose anything. I gain. You know, when I gave myself to the Lord, there was a day in my life when the Lord had me in a crisis and I realized I'm not in charge. Wait a minute. He's the boss, not me. And at that moment, I gave myself to the Lord and said, Lord, I will be your servant. Now, I wasn't talking about the ministry. I'm just a Christian who worked a job and I went, I'm giving myself to you. At that moment, I didn't lose anything. I gained. You don't understand. The more you hold back, the more you lose. It's a paradox. We advance by kneeling. We have victory by surrendering. It's a paradox. And the thing is, the world has taught us, well, if I give in, I give up. When I give in and give myself to the Lord, I gain. I didn't lose anything. I've gained. And today, if you find yourself in any of these things that I struggle with, if any of that relates to your life, then it's the same thing for you. Repent, confess, forsake, and obey. Don't obey me. I'm not your authority. Don't obey this church. It's not your authority. Obey God through his word. And you will unleash the power and the blessings of God. Let's stand with our heads bowed and our eyes closed. Now today, if you're here and if you died, you're not sure heaven's your home. I want you to know God loves you. And God sent his son to die for you. And that if you'll trust him today, if you'll pray, if you'll turn to him in prayer and you will ask him to forgive you and be your Savior because you believe Jesus died and rose again, he will save you and you will be God's child. But I think I'm talking to Christians in here today. I know your testimony, many of you. You understand what I'm saying. You're not giving up anything. You're giving yourself and gaining. Our Heavenly Father, in the next few moments, I ask you to speak to every heart and every soul. Father, that every mind would be clear, understanding that the devil hates what we've just talked about. And I pray, God, don't allow the distraction right now. That every heart and every mind would be focused upon you. Father, that every person would realize that you stand ready and are able to bless us. You want to, if we'll just stop limiting you. Father, please, forgive us of our sin. Cleanse us, O God. Father, we believe now more than ever that the power of Christ resides in us through the Holy Spirit. And Father, today as we give ourselves to you afresh and anew in obedience to your word, we pray, Father, that you would be able to bless others through us, that the world would see the truth that is you, that the world would experience the love of God through us and be saved. Father, we want this. Help us as your people. In Jesus' name, amen.
As Mrs. Mix begins to play, the altar's open. There's nothing magical about this carpet, but if you come down here and you'll kneel in front of the Lord and say, God, it's me again. God, I'm giving myself back to you again. God, I've taken myself off the altar so many times. God, I'm sorry. I'm coming back now. God, I'm giving myself to you today. I'm yours today. God, do with me as you please. God, do with me as you please. I trust you. I believe in you. I know you. I want to know you more. As she plays.
Here's my heart, Lord. Here's my heart, Lord. Here's my heart, Lord. I am found, I am yours, I am loved, I'm made pure, I have life, I can breathe, I am healed, I am free. Here's my heart, Lord. Here's my speak what is true, 'cause I am found, I am yours, I am loved, I'm made pure, I have life, I can breathe, I am healed, I am free. 'Cause you are strong, you are sure, you are life, you endure, you are good, always true, you are light, breaking through. Here's my heart, Lord. Here's my speak what is true. 'Cause I am found, I am yours, I am loved, I'm made pure, I have life, I can breathe, I am healed, I am free. You are more than enough, you are here. You are love, you are hope, you are grace, you're all I have, you're everything. Here's my heart, Lord.
Our Heavenly Father, we love you. Here's our heart.
Here's my
heart. It's yours.
Lord.
Use it for your glory. Thank you, God, for the truth of your word. Thank you, God, that you love us and you separate our sin from us, that your love never diminishes from us. And Father, today we ask, as we walk with you, you would bless the world around us through us for your glory, in Jesus' name. Amen.